Okay. So it's just a very great, wonderful, and joyful day. It's really nice. Well, one exciting part is we are fasting tomorrow. Isn't that fun? We're going to be fasting tomorrow. Will you fast tomorrow? Okay, see if you can make it. If not, it's okay. But yeah, we're fasting, I think it's till midday. Yes, right. Fasting. And then celebrating in different ways. But I guess this is our Port Shepstone Nityananda Appearance Day Festival. Oh, you're having a program tomorrow? Oh, you are? Okay. Anyway, so it's just wonderful to be here with you all. And nice to see His Grace Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu is here, manning the Madanga, one of His constitutional positions. So let us say a few words in glorification of Lord Nityananda. There's so many things that can be said, but let's try and select a few nice, interesting things. So you can just repeat after me. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So let us begin, devotees and friends, by reading a verse from a song, actually. A song by Srila Narottama Das Thakur, one of our great previous acharyas. The song about Lord Nityananda called Nitai Padakamala. For short, Lord Nityananda is called Nitai. So Nitai Padakamala is the name of the song, and it means the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. It's a very beautiful song. We won't go through the whole thing, but I'll just read one verse and the translation, and then we'll see where that takes us. Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala Ye Chayai Jagatai Juran Halo Nitai Bine Bai Radha Krishna Paite Nai Drita Kori Daro Nitayar Pai, which means the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are a shelter where one will get the soothing moonlight, not only of one, but of millions of moons. If the world wants to have real peace, it should take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Unless one takes shelter under the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, it will be very difficult for him to approach Radha and Krishna. If one actually wants to enter into the dancing party of Radha and Krishna, he must firmly catch hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. So that's, well, the whole song is just so beautiful. Deep very profound. Glorifying Lord Nityananda. So, first of all, who is Lord Nityananda, actually, in historical terms? Where does he fit into our Krishna consciousness tradition and the Hare Krishna movement? Well, like often happens in Krishna consciousness, it is a long story. We have many long stories. Yes. So, Lord Nityananda's place in the whole picture of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, well, it's a long story. But basically, put it this way. When Lord Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in this world, he appears with his, shall we say, a group, a confidential group of confidential associates. Lord Krishna, when he appears in different forms, coming up in a couple of few months is Ram Novi, Lord Ram. Lord Ramachandra is one such form of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, his appearance day is coming up also in a few weeks in the earlier part of March. And I think you're basically aware of these things. Krishna appears in many forms with many different characteristics and displaying different types of personalities or different aspects of his personality in the different forms. So when he appears, though, he appears with that group, generally the same group. But as he appears differently, at least on the surface differently, they also appear differently, somewhat differently. So therefore, well, I mentioned Lord Ram. Lord Ram is Krishna. When Krishna appears, his older brother Balaram appears with him. When Krishna appears as Lord Ram, Lord Balaram appears also, but now he appears with Lord Ram as Lakshmana, the brother. So that when Lord Krishna appears as Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Balaram, the brother, appears as Lord Nityananda. Yes. He appears as Lord Nityananda. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, the way he presents, he is Krishna, but now he presents himself differently when he appears as Lord Chaitanya. He appears with the mood and the program of activities of a devotee, teaching how to be a devotee of himself and demonstrating how to be a devotee of himself. And so Lord Nityananda, he is very much in the mood of being a devotee, of being a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, being a devotee of Lord Krishna. Yes, and generally, like we mentioned, Lakshman, well, Balaram with Krishna, Lakshman with Ram. Balaram is always in the mood of being a devotee of Krishna. Lakshman is very much in the mood of being a devotee of Lord Ram. So Lord Nityananda, the same person, is very much in being in the mood of a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, it is said about Krishna and Balaram, who now are appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Vijayananda. It is said, Srila Jiva Goswami, one of our great acharyas, he actually says, if you ask Krishna, who is God? Krishna points to his chest and says, me. Very straightforward. It's true. He has the right completely. But Lord Balaram, who is in the mood of being a devotee, although he is the brother and first expansion of Krishna himself, but he is in the mood of being a devotee of Krishna. And he acts like that, thinks like that, feels like that. So therefore, if you ask Lord Balaram, who is God? Balaram says, Krishna. He can also say, me, himself. He can, because he is an incarnation of Krishna. He's the first expansion. He has the right, practically as much as Krishna. Although Krishna is his source, and he is not the source of Krishna. Krishna is the original form of God. So he, Lord Balaram there, if you ask him, who's God? He says, Krishna. And if you ask him, well, who are you then? He says, I'm a devotee of Krishna. That's how he thinks. That's how he sees himself. That's how he lives and thinks and feels. Similarly with Lord Nityananda. He's in the mood of being a servant of Lord Chaitanya, who was Krishna. Yes, in the mood of being a servant. So, but now Lord Chaitanya is in the mood himself of being a devotee, actually. And not just a devotee, but he is in the mood of being a preacher, a presenter of Krishna consciousness, who is trying to give people knowledge and the opportunity to themselves become devotees of the Lord. Means just your ordinary, typical people from the street, from all over, wherever in the world. He's moving around. Lord Chaitanya, it's his mission. He is in a missionary mood, going to people and saying, here, take Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna, become a devotee. Lord Chaitanya actually, that's Lord Chaitanya. He's in the mood and he's actively, busily engaged. A lot of the time he was just going out in the streets with other devotees and chanting in the streets and broadcasting Krishna consciousness. So Lord Nityananda then, he is in the mood of being a servant of Lord Chaitanya. And when you're a servant of a person, means you have to know what they want. You don't, if you are the servant, you don't just decide what you will do to please the master. You have to find out from the master what they want. You cannot dictate to the master that I'm just going to serve you in this way or that. You have to ask, how can I serve you? So, Lord Chaitanya is in that mood, missionary mood, giving people Krishna consciousness. That's like his whole orientation in life. And Lord Nityananda is in the mood of being his servant. So therefore, Lord Nityananda is just, you could even use the word, obsessed, totally focused, to the exclusion of any other consideration of any sort, totally focused on fulfilling that desire of his Lord, Chaitanya. So this is what Lord Nityananda was doing. And therefore, by doing that, as we read in the translation of that verse from the song, we use the term giving shelter to people by giving them Krishna, giving them Krishna consciousness, giving them the chanting of Hare Krishna, giving them shelter from the blazing fire of material existence. I don't know if you noticed, but it's summer anyway, and it's hot. Actually, it's not really hot at all. But by South African standards, you know, it's kind of sticky warm. But the material world is described as being like a blazing fire, and the people are stuck in the fire. They're in the fire and they're getting burnt. It's just, oh, it's an extreme situation. And again, you may have noticed, I assume you have, how just in day-to-day life, in the world at large, what a place it is. What is going on? You know, look at the newspaper. I advise you not to, actually, because it's too depressing. If it's not Donald Trump, it's the coronavirus. And if it's not that, anyway, let's not get into the details, but you know what it's like. You know what it's like. So all these trials and tribulations and obstacles, and who wants to suffer? Nobody wants to suffer. Everyone wants to be happy and they're trying. But who is really becoming happy? Who's really becoming happy, happy, happy on a just ongoing, uninterrupted basis? Well, that's rare. That's very rare in this world. Rather, generally, people are struggling. And it's not just in South Africa. South Africans are sometimes fond of thinking that, oh, South Africa is so bad. It's not so bad, relatively speaking. I'm not saying it's that good. But there's so much difficulty going on in so many places. It is actually fantastic. So therefore, the material world and life in the material world is compared to a forest fire and being stuck. Like in Australia very recently, I don't know if it's still going on, but you I'm sure you're aware, it was terrible. Blazing fire. So material life is like that. And when you are, if you are caught in a blazing fire, then you need some shelter, some protection. Otherwise, you'll just get burned to earth. So, to shelter us from material existence in the sense of freeing us from the anxieties which are burning the hearts and causing pain to so many people in this world, we need a special type of shelter. And this is given by the Lord, by the great devotees. And in this case, Lord Nityananda, in that spirit of spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya and helping the fallen souls, he's giving so much shelter. And the effect is, it's not exactly utopian, like suddenly everyone becomes your friend, everyone starts showering you with money, you never get, what to speak of sick, you never get even a sniffle. This is utopian. This is utopian. Yeah. So a devotee who's practicing Krishna consciousness within this world is also exposed to at least some of the difficulties that the people in general are exposed to. But because there is a type of shelter, spiritual shelter, then they're unaffected. They're not affected by things which otherwise would the people in general just distress them and disturb them in so many ways. Yes, it's amazing. Even to the point, as Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 13, Deinosvinyatadehe kovaran yoganantara tatadehantara praktya diras tatra navuyate. Lord Krishna is saying there that the embodied soul means the person. The embodied soul living within a material body goes through childhood, youth, and then gradually through maturity, etc., into old age. And then finally, of course, death comes. But Lord Krishna says that dearest tatra na muyati, that the spiritually awakened person, or in this context, the sheltered person, even when the time of death comes, the devotee is not disturbed. Not disturbed. And what to speak of the normal day-to-day problems of illness and financial things and political things. So this is what shelter means. Spiritual shelter. Not that you enter into some utopian type of situation somehow magically, although Krishna solves many problems actually for his devotees. But the thing is, because of the shelter, you become unaffected. And situations which otherwise would call great pain, they become fine. No problem at all. Even the devotee becomes very joyful, even in the midst of what otherwise for other people would be great trouble and distressing circumstances. So this is Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya is known as Mahavaranyaya Avatar, the most munificent, just giving and giving people Krishna consciousness, even if they don't want it. even if they don't know what it is, but he's still giving. Lord Nityananda, because he's in the mood, completely in the mood, of carrying out the mission of his Lord Chaitanya, he is even more merciful, even more than Lord Chaitanya. Therefore it said an interesting thing, listen to this. That demon, bad person, very bad person, who Lord Ram would kill, Lord Krishna might spare his life. But that demon who Lord Krishna would kill, and he did kill many, that person, Lord Chaitanya, would spare his life. And the great example of that is in Krishna Leela. Probably you've heard of Kamsa. He was sort of the chief demon of the day at that time. So Krishna killed him. But then Kamsa was born again at the time of Lord Chaitanya as a person called the Qazi, who was the Muslim governor of Bengal. Staunch Muslim. Really staunch, radical Muslim. So Lord Chaitanya met him, and again it's a long story, but there was a gathering, a vast gathering of devotees in rebellion against the Muslim government, and the governor in particular, the Qazi, and they were just going to literally tear the person to pieces. But Lord Chaitanya stopped them, and he spoke with the Qazi, and he basically convinced the Qazi to become a devotee. He didn't kill him. Previously, when he was Kamsa, Krishna killed him. But because Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna, he didn't kill the Qazi. Rather, he changed him into a better person and something of a devotee. But, devotees, listen to this. That demon who Lord Chaitanya would kill, Lord Nityananda will spare his life. But not just spare his life, but give him love of God. Give him liberation, Krishna prema. And the example is Jagayan Mata. If you're familiar with that story, they were two really just gross and ghastly characters. And again, it's another one of our long stories. They attacked Lord Nityananda physically, and Lord Chaitanya came and manifested his chakra, and he was about to just destroy them, Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Nityananda, because he's even more merciful, he appealed to Lord Chaitanya, don't do it. Give them to me, let me deal with them. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, if that's what you want. And so he turned, Lord Nityananda transformed them into great devotees. So just see, even that demon who Lord Chaitanya would kill, Lord Nityananda spared the person's life, but not just that, gave them the perfection of life. So this is Lord Nityananda, therefore it's said here, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are a shelter where one will get the soothing moonlight, not only of one, but of millions of moons. You know, in India, where it does get hot in summer, sometimes the devotees go on Govardhan Parikrama through the night, because during the day it becomes too much, the heat is too much. Yeah. So sometimes they go through the middle of the night when it's as cool, not exactly cool, but relatively as cool as it's going to get at that time of the year. And an interesting thing, very interesting thing. So now they're walking, and they go often on the, what they call the Purnima, the full moon night, when the moon is just as full. And you know what they notice? They're walking, it's midnight, it's 1 a.m, it's 2 a.m, you know, it's that sort of time. The moon has been there for some hours. They notice that when they walk on the open ground, it's kind of sandy ground, where it's open ground, which has been exposed to the moonlight for the last some number of hours, the ground is cooler than if they go under the shade of a tree, where the ground has not been exposed to the moonlight, but is still sort of heated from the heat of the day. Isn't that interesting? The moon cools, literally cools. So Lord Nityananda, if we get the shade, the shelter of his lotus feet, it's so cooling in the sense of from the feverish condition of materialistic life, it just soothes people, just completely soothes them. So therefore Lord Nityananda is a very important person in our life. Let me tell you a story. I imagine some of you are familiar with this story, but that's all right. Prabhupada said, repetition of a good thing is good. Lord Nityananda, when Lord Chaitanya left home at the age of 24 and took sannyas, and then ended up not long after going to Jagannath Puri, Lord Nityananda went with him and was with him in Jagannath Puri for some few years. But then Lord Chaitanya sent him back to Bengal to continue spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So Lord Nityananda left Lord Chaitanya's association, went back to Bengal, and was moving all around there every day, hours and hours, with the devotees out chanting in the streets and explaining to people and getting people involved in Krishna consciousness. So he was doing that. And one day, actually in Navadvip, which is where he was based, that area, Mayapur area, well, Lord Nityananda, when he would go out, he had a very extraordinary personality, Lord Nityananda. I was sort of looking forward to a program by candlelight. It's more atmospheric. But anyway, okay. Lord Nityananda, what a personality. When he would go out on Harinam Sankirtan, he would dress very extravagantly. You know, like ladies dress on their wedding day. They go to India to buy the sari, they don't just go to pop it now. Right? It's many who I know. They get some super duper job from Benares. Literally, they go there to get it. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were dressed like that, like valuable clothing. And he would wear jewelry. And not just a bit of jewelry.
We can connect the power piece.
Yeah. Not just, you know, a few bangles, a necklace, or, you know, something like that. But he would wear kilos of gold around his neck, kilos, and jewelry with encrusted with diamonds
and all different types of gems of the greatest value, means by our standards, multi-millions, just when he'd go out on Harinam. And he would just dance and chant. But that was his personality. He was a very unusual personality. So one day, in India they used the term dacoit. I don't think we use it. I mean, in South Africa, a dacoit means like a professional heavy criminal, the real thing, who was the leader of a gang of dacoits, saw Lord Nityananda dancing in the streets with, you know, millions of dollars worth, not to speak of rands, of gold and jewelry. And he couldn't believe it. Look at this. And he gathered his associate dacoits, and he even joined the Harinam party. And a few of them joined the party. They're moving along with Lord Nityananda, going through the streets, moving along and just checking him out. Look at that necklace, and look at the other necklace, and look at the other one, and look at the 20th one, and the 50th one. And they had a meeting afterwards. Just this one job, we can retire, all of us, in luxury, for the rest of our lives. We just have to get him and rob him. So at the time, Lord Nityananda was staying in the house of one devotee, Nandanacharya, who was one of the leading devotees in Navadvip at the time. So Lord Nityananda was staying in his place as a guest, and every evening they have a gathering of devotees just like this, and they would chant and have Krishna Katar and Prasadam, and then the people would go home later, just like this. So this dacoit, he was actually from a Brahmin background, means like a priestly intellectual type of background, at least his family. But he had gone on a different track altogether and become like a super dacoit. So the dacoit Brahmin and his associates dacoits gathered just outside, I mean, a little away, now, 20, 30 meters away, hiding in the bushes. And they're planning, okay, how are we going to do this? and they decided, you know, because the kirtan was going on and so on, let's wait till everyone goes home, and then we'll go in, and we'll just do it, and just take everything. And they were even saying, because they had, you know, mentally taken a bit of an inventory of what Lord Nityananda was wearing. And one said, well, I will take the one, the necklace, which has the diamonds surrounded by emeralds. And another one said, well, I will take the necklace which has the diamonds surrounded by rupees. And like this, they're sorting out. But they're waiting for the devotees to leave. And you know what happened by the mystical arrangement of the Lord, who is the supreme mystic. They all fell asleep before the devotees left, before the program finished. They just fell asleep. And they didn't just fall asleep. They just went out with a count, totally unconscious and unwakeable, until the morning when the sun had risen, and then they woke, and they said to each other, hey, you fell asleep. And the other one said, oh, you stayed awake all night, did you? And like this, they sort of chastised each other. But they didn't understand something mystical was going on by the Lord's arrangement. So they said, all right, listen, no problem. No harm done. We'll come back tonight. We'll come back tonight. And we'll just, this time we'll make sure. So they came back the next night. And sure enough, the kirtan was going on. However, they noticed outside the house was a gang of sentries, guards, and not your just typical security guard from the supermarket. But these were the real thing. These people were like 2.5 meters tall, 2.5 meters wide, all muscle, and they were devotees. They had tilak. Have you got tilak? They had tilak on their arms, like, serious tilak on their foreheads. Wow. And they were marching up and down on all sides of the house. So they'd meet, you know, in the center, and then go off to the corner and come back. And when they'd meet in the center, they would go, Hari Bol! What would they do?
Hari Bol!
No. They would go, Hari Bol! And turn around and go back. You know, this is what they're doing. And they're like giants. And these dacoits, they saw this and they thought, wow, where did these people come from? So they decided, no, we won't try tonight. They waited a few more nights, actually, and they came back again. It was a cloudless night, perfect weather conditions, full moon. You couldn't have asked for better. So they're like 30 meters away from the house behind the trees. Kirtan finishes. Actually, the devotees were still in the house. But Kirtan was finished. And the dacoits decided, right, that's it. we are going there. And so they ran out. They just had to cover not a long distance. They ran out suddenly. An incredible, devastating storm. Totally incredible storm. Just deluge down out of literally nowhere. The hailstones were that big. When you get hit by one, you die. Yeah. Good night. And the rain was falling, not in drops, in pillars. So, it was so devastating. They became bewildered. Some of them fell over, some of them went this way, some of them went that way. They couldn't see a thing. They couldn't see their hands before their faces. It was just so totally, unbelievably heavy storm. So, one group, they fell into a rubbish hole. In India, you know, in the village, even to this day in some places, they make rubbish holes. It's a real hole. It's like a couple of meters deep. It's a serious hole. So these men fell into the rubbish hole and broke their bones. Not only was the hole full of horrible, smelly rubbish, it was full of scorpions. And if you get stung by a scorpion, if you ever get the opportunity to be stung by a scorpion, don't take it. It can be fatal. It can easily be fatal. So they're getting stung like viciously by these scorpions. Another group fell into a drainage canal which was full of leeches. I haven't seen leeches in South Africa. You know what they're like? These kind of big, I don't know how to describe them. They're almost like centipedes. But they attach themselves to your body and they suck your blood. So there they were, they fell into this canal and they got smashed. And they couldn't move. And then the leeches climbed in and sucked their blood. And they're just moaning and groaning. A third group ran into a thorn tree. Something like, you know, if you go up towards in the northern KZN, you know, they have these thorn trees with thorns this long and, you know, really hard. You can't just snap it. So these were worse. The thorns were like razor blades. So they stuck in the tree. If you just try to move, your skin just gets ripped. So they're stuck there in the tree. And on top of this, the hail and the rain is just destroying them. Mystical arrangement of the Lord. So the dacoit Brahmin, the chief, he was in one of these situations and just completely devastated. And he started to get some realization. And he started thinking, you know, I have heard people say that this Nityananda is God, I think it must be true. Because how could this happen? It's completely impossible. Unless there's some divine, powerful hand, he must be God. And so within his heart he started lamenting, what sort of person am I? What have I been doing? How have I ruined my life? I have to change my ways. So he became determined. That's it. I'm giving up all of this. I'm going to go into the house and just throw myself at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and surrender my life to him. As soon as he made this decision, the storm disappeared. Suddenly it just was not there. Like in the space of a second. And it was a clear night again with the full moon. All the other dacoits ran for it. They all made quick escapes. But the dacoit Brahmana, the chief dacoit, and the worst of them, you know, these people are killers. They're just the worst people. He came into the house, and there were all the devotees. Lord Nityananda is giving a Krishna guitar, and in comes the chief dacoit in a state of devastation. And the devotees thought, what is going to happen now? What is this man doing here? And they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe how terrible he looked. And he just walked straight through them and threw himself at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and became a devotee. He surrendered to the Lord. He offered beautiful prayers. And he became a devotee, practicing real devotee. And he asked Lord Nityananda, what service can I do now? What should my service be? I've done so many bad things. Tell me, what can I do to change my life? And Lord Nityananda gave him a special service. Lord Nityananda said, you must become a preacher. And you must go from town to town. And you must find all the dacoits and preach to them and make them into devotees. So the dacoit Brahman, he did that. Because he was the chief. He was the chief. He was respected and feared by all the other dacoits. So he went from house to house, or dacoit house to dacoit house, town to town, locating all the dacoits, knock on the door opens, and this dacoit sees, here's this giant, the chief dacoit of all of Bengal. And the chief and the dacoit told him, you chant Hare Krishna, or else. So they all became devotees. And they became, you know, amongst the followers of Lord Chaitanya, amongst the followers of Lord Nityananda, They're in different groups. In some cases from different towns. In some cases just devotees with particular natures who just gravitate towards each other. In this case, this group, they are called the dacoit Vaishnavas. They became devotees, real devotees. And they are known as the dacoit Vaishnavas. And their program was preaching, like we said, and going on Harinam. They would have their own Harinam group, the dacoit Vaishnav Harinam group. And they would go out and they would do what we could call heavy Harinam. You know, different devotees, when they sing, they have different styles of leading kirtan. Their kirtan was very heavy. Like, boom, boom, boom. You know, you hear the taxis going by. Boom, boom, boom. Their kirtan was like that. It was. And people would hear, oh, there's a kirtan party coming. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, it's the dacoit Vaishnavas. And they helped Lord Nityananda spreading the Sankirtan movement in many parts of Bengal and preached specifically to that type of person. So, there's a benediction actually. Can I find it? There's a blessing. Just see if I can find it. There's a blessing. For those who hear this story, okay, here it is. By Lord Nityananda's power, these thieves and ruffians attained ecstatic devotional service. Devotional service where the devotee weeps, trembles, shouts, and finds the hairs of his body standing erect. Devotional service the kings of yoga yearn to attain. O my brothers and sisters, please worship Lord Nityananda. By his mercy, you will attain Lord Chaitanya. Anyone who hears this story of Lord Nityananda will someday meet Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who, with an attentive heart, hears this pastime of the dacoit's deliverance will someday see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. You know what I should have done? I should have read that before telling you this. But I think you were listening, weren't you? You seem to be listening. Yeah, so there you go. Someday you will meet Lord Chaitanya. And someday you'll see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So this is Lord Nityananda. He likes to deliver those who are, you could say, real problem cases, like those death horses. Yeah. Jagai and Nagai. He looks for people like that. Because he knows my Lord Chaitanya, his name, one of his names, is Patita Pavan, the deliverer of the fallen. So I want to find the most fallen, the most, absolutely most fallen. And by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we will deliver them. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya can rightly be glorified as Patita Pavan. Hare Krishna. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki
jai.
Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki
jai.
Sri Nityananda Prabhu
ki jai.
Go Premananda.
Hare
Bol. Okay.